All right. Let me see if I can remember how to be positive.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
6-1, the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox. This just in from the Schadenfreude department. The Boston Red Sox have been eliminated from the playoffs. I mean, I count that as a win, given the way 2024 has gone for the Blue Jays. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590-590 is the text line. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. Kevin, not just one, not just two, but I would suggest three rather positive things to talk about tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays. First of all, Alejandro Kirk continuing this, what would you call it? I wouldn't call it a renaissance. What would you call it? 3-for-4, 3 RBI and a double. A return to form, looking a little more like the best Alejandro Kirk at the plate. How would you describe what we're seeing?
Yeah, consistent. How about that? I think that the more you play him, the more he just gets in the groove of the season, no matter what part of the season it is. And, you know, it sort of looks like, I think, the bat-to-ball skill that we were planning on getting the first 4 months of the season. And, you know, again, I think you can sort of close your eyes in the fifth inning and watch an opposing manager not pitch around Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because Kirk's got a 17-game hitting streak. Like that, that's what you can close your eyes. I'm not saying that Alejandro Kirk should be the number 5-hole hitter or number 4-hole hitter next year, but I'm saying if you close your eyes, that's sort of what you're talking about, mm-hmm. right? When you got a dude who's hot and hitting all quadrants and the opposing manager don't think you can get the dude out on the on-deck circle who's hitting behind Vladdy, you have to pitch the Vladdy. You know, there's a couple of things that went into that. You could tell Vladdy was front side pulling a little bit, trying too hard to drive the ball to the big part of the field. Core saw the exact same thing I saw. And, you know, you take your chances, and a lot of that has to do with the guy standing on the on-deck circle. So, yeah, like it's – again, I've said this. It just looks like his rhythm with his lower half allows him to create torque with his midsection. And when you're able to rotate and get off of your backside – that will allow you to hit different quadrants and use the entire field, and that's what Kirk's doing. So, yeah, it's kind of fun to watch. You know, again, I like that they just get out of his way. I mean, don't overthink it, man. I don't care what his body looks like. Here's a ball, here's a glove, here's a bat, here's that little thing you push to tell a pitcher what to throw. Go out there and play and show us what you got, and that's exactly what he's doing. Good for him.
Why don't we use that as a starting off point for our conversation tonight at 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Are you buying what you've seen from Alejandro Kirk? Has he changed your opinion of him? Has he changed what you think the Blue Jays need to do in the offseason? 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Kevin Gausman, Kevin Barker, hits 87 again tonight. That's 3 miles an hour over a season average. 3 years in a row. 97. 3 miles an hour over season average. 3 years in a row now, he's made 31 starts. We talked a little bit about it on Blair and Barker, the type of year he's had, the start of the year, some of the things he's had to discover about himself, I guess would be one way of putting it. But a good finish to the year for a guy that could very well be the opening day starter next year.
Yeah, I mean, Barrios, I would think, have something to say about that just because of the year he's had and, you know, the consistency of just getting the ball every 5 days. And I think he's a little bit more predictable right now than Kevin is. But you can't argue the last 7 starts he's had. It's 30 2/3 between homers allowed, like the velocity tonight. I think his 92nd pitch was 98 miles an hour. Like, you know, I think he tonight was the first time in a while he wasn't afraid to pitch up. Mm-hmm. Normally it's, you know, I'm going to pound down. I'm going to tunnel the slider. Slider tonight was a little bit harder. That's why it was carrying the zone. He was getting a few more called strikes than normal with the split finger. You know, and when you're a hitter, you're seeing that. You're taking it because you're a little in between because you really don't know whether it's the fastball or the split finger. So, you know, you like that. The better the fastball velocity is, the less you'll see of the sliders and the two-seamer. He ain't that dude. So you sort of like that. It's just, how do you get back that L.A. Angels game where he had 10 punchies? He only had 3 punchies tonight. I think that's the thing going into the offseason. You're him and Petey. You got to figure out, like, they need in big at-bats when they need to get to swing and miss. Can they? Right now, I think that's real tough for him. Why? for me, that's the answer they need to, or that's the question they need to answer in the offseason, is how do you get back to that LA Angels game? Now, we understand the Angels stink. They ain't real good. But he still had 10 punches in that game. And when he needed one, he could get it. Tonight, he needed one, say, you know, in the fifth, what was it, in the sixth inning when, you know, Barger and, you know, Clement just sort of couldn't get on the same page. Where are you throwing it? I'm catching it. You don't make the play. He needs a punch out. It's tough. How do you get back to that dude who can punch out 10 and get the strikeout when he needs it? So other than that, I mean, I'm picking here just because going into the next season, you know, you need to see the best out of the big three. So, yeah, it's exactly what the doctor ordered. You get, you know, you get your quality start. You sort of know what you need to build off of. You do it running into the off season. Hopefully he's raring and ready to go. They can use him the way they want to use him in spring training because he's healthy. He doesn't have the dead arm. You see the velocity. He's happy. First game he pitches, you know, it looks like this Kevin Gausman. So you got to, if you're a Jays fan, you got to be happy about seeing this.
A bunch of other stuff going on around baseball tonight. The Philadelphia Phillies have clinched home field advantage in the first round with their win over the Chicago Cubs. The Baltimore Orioles putting the boots to the New York Yankees. And Jason Dominguez, the Yankees left fielder, letting a ball drop, costing Marcus Stroman a couple of runs in that game. The Orioles, yeah, I mean, I think we know where the Orioles are going to be and where the Yankees are going to be. But certainly if you're the Orioles, you're certainly not, you know, you're not going to be upset beating the Yankees. And another game with playoff implications, the Detroit Tigers, 8th win in 9 games. They beat Tampa Bay 7-1. And I don't know, man. At this point, it's hard to see the Tigers not. It's hard to see them not making the playoffs. It really is.
Yeah, it's a good story.
It's a great story.
I don't know how far you can go with. Well, you got one starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, how far can you actually think you're going to go
in a
playoff hunt against a good team who's got plenty of pitching? Like, yeah, it's a good story, and you know, give AJ credit for doing the openers and doing whatever it takes to sort of gain momentum with a bunch of young guys. Offensively, the guys that mattered in their lineup stepped up when it mattered the most, just because, you know, what's the expectations? Well, you know, what's the, you know, how hard is it for them to sort of, it's a, you know, what do we got to lose kind of mentality. So yeah, it's a good story, but again, it gets back to that. They got one starting pitcher.
Yeah. Kevin, I did want to go circle back to the Jays game. And the Rays were also mathematically eliminated tonight with their loss to the Tigers. So
they're winning the East next year.
Well, I'm sure the Rays are, you know, obviously they'd love to have gone to the playoffs this year, but I'm sure they're going to be smug as hell. I mean, you know, they're feeling smug right now because you know, they know what they've got coming. And yeah, you
know, in
the
underground city, Jeff.
Oh,
they are building two offensive players that nobody's ever heard of will drop 30 next year.
And they're already planning their postseason rotation for 2026. So you know that as well as I do. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We're going to get to Sam and Hamilton in a minute. Wanted to talk about Jonathan Clase, though, Kevin. First major league home run. Look, nobody's saying he's going to be here next year. But he's a switch hitting center fielder with a little bit of pop who can hit leadoff. Now, again, no one's saying he's going to be here next year, but .. You know, close your eyes. Mm-hmm. And if he can continue to develop, I can certainly see him being here maybe in 2026.
Yeah. Look, I think the future's bright for this kid, right? He's got all the tools. He's very athletic. You can tell he's got an idea of what he wants to swing at. You
know, that was not an easy pitch to take out either.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 91-mile-an-hour cutter. That's a mistake that most good hitters should hammer. And I'm not saying you should hit that thing for a homer, but you should be hammering that thing in a 3-2 count at 91 miles an hour in your zone. Like, that's this little honey hole is – exactly where that thing was thrown. But give him credit, mechanically it's simple. I lift it, I get it down, I'm athletic, I'm built like a fire hydrant, I got enough bat speed. Now he's not oozing out the pores with the bat speed, but you know, it just looks to me like mechanically, posture wise he's allowed and capable of getting to a finish, right? He's a pronator. and he's a one-handed finish guy. Pronator means I finish with my hand facing where the ball came from. It's not the easiest thing to do. I used to try and do that because I wanted to add length, and I wanted to get frisky, party out front kind of thing. And that's sort of what he's trying to do, right? He, you know, when he's able to, he's capable of doing that. So, you know, it's a work in progress, not only at the plate in the outfield. You see the routes, you just see the timing of leaving his feet, and, you know, the balls that we've seen him not catch that he should catch, those are things, right? It's better jumps, better routes, just better timing. Like, the dude's 22, but you can tell, right, there's things there. That's why when they got him and people that have been around the GM has said, you know, this is the sort of the guy. He's got the athleticism that we can't teach. Now it's just refining it, putting him in the right spots and putting him around in front of some people who know how to hit, get him good pitches to hit, and he'll have success doing it.
Sam in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. First of all, really cool to see Class A hit his first major league home run. I didn't know. I thought he hit one with Seattle when he was called up earlier. Two things. One, about Kirk. No, I'm not buying it. I don't believe a starting catcher can end the season with five home runs. Unless he's batting ninth and you have a stacked lineup, that to me is a red flag for Kirk. And number two, Vladdy, I would keep Vladdy at first. I don't want him to go to third. I know he might want to go to third, but if I'm the Blue Jays, I go all in on Alex Bregman or maybe in trade market, maybe Nolan Arenado. Like, I don't want Vladdy at third. I want Vladdy to stay at first where he can continue to be healthy.
I appreciate the call, Sam. Look, and your point is well made on Kirky. I know, Kevin, you feel that way as well. Five home runs, it's not good. If he's hitting ninth, if you've done a remarkable job in the offseason, I mean, if you've had the offseason to end all off seasons, and you're essentially saying to Kirk, we don't care what you give us offensively. You just, you know, get your ass down behind the plate, push the right buttons, hit the odd double to the opposite field, and we'll worry about the rest of it. I think you can make do with him there. But, I mean, the caller's right. You'd like a little more power out of that position.
No, yeah. Look, I've talked about this forever, right? The first five spots in the order, what, three of those probably is not here. You know, again, I've said this and I'll continue to say it. I'd like to see Horowitz playing second every day and leading off. That ain't happening. Like, they basically told you without telling you, they ain't giant fans of his, right? So, who knows where he'll be next year. So for me, if you're the organization, you can't let what you're seeing from Kirk now talk you into saying, okay, now we found our fourth or fifth hitter protecting dudes who are supposed to be carrying your team next year.
But that was a caller. That was a caller's point.
You can't have that.
So, no, yeah. That was a caller's point.
Yeah, he said, what do people think he's going to hit? 30? No, I mean, he's a 7 or 8 hole hitter who should be hitting lefties like crazy and should be getting hit. So you're talking 60 RBIs and hitting 320 off of lefties. If he does those two things, who cares how many homers he hits? I mean, that's the point, right? It's first five spots can't be there. As long as he ain't there, I'm in the camp where it's very specific of what he's doing, right? Lefties and getting an occasional hit with a dude standing at second.
Vladdy at first or third. Again, I think we're of the same opinion here. You can have him as long as the lineup's better. I don't care if he's at first or third. If you get a better third, if it's easier to make the lineup better by getting a third baseman than a first baseman, fine. Vladdy can be at first. If it's easier to make the lineup easier by adding a first baseman, if there's more in the market, fine. Vladdy can go to third. I'm okay. You know, if Vladdy's okay with it, I'm okay with it. That's kind of the way I look at it. Whatever you can do to get a better hitter in here.
I ain't moving him to third to play Horowitz at first. I think that's your point.
Yeah, no, I'm moving him to third if they get Pete Alonso or somebody who's a legit slugger. Yeah, no, I'm not going to move him. He's going to move to third base because I have made my lineup substantially better by the guy I'm bringing in to play first base. If I got Spencer Horwitz, no, I'm not moving him to third base, so Spencer Horwitz can be my everyday first baseman. No disrespect to Spencer Horwitz, but I just don't want him to be my everyday first baseman. He can be my everyday second baseman, hit 7th or 8th. I'm okay with that. I do not want him as my everyday first baseman, and I certainly don't want him hitting in the middle of the order.
How about leading off?
I'd be okay with him leading off. Certainly, I'd prefer him leading off compared to George Springer. I think I'd rather have him leading off than Bo. Unless they go out and acquire the leadoff hitter, which I see that happening. Yeah, I'd be okay with Spencer leading off. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want him in the middle of the order.
It ain't happening. Like talking George Springer into Horowitz's leading off and you ain't. Good luck.
I at this point, I don't think they care.
Don't they?
No, at this point, no. After a year where you finished in last place, where jobs are on the line, no, I don't think they will be gentle with George Springer.
Actions speak louder than words. Yeah. It's a tough game to say that out loud with three games left. We'll believe it when we see it. Yeah, like again, it gets back to that: how much they're paying him, what they've done to him when they moved him down, and the promises of "we'll put you in that leadoff spot, we won't move you again." They were in it when they did that.
He will not. I will tell you right now, George Springer will not be leading off for the Blue Jays next year.
I mean, I hope you're right, and I think every Jays fan hopes you're right. But again, if not him, who?
Yeah, exactly. That's just what I spent 5 minutes saying. I'm saying you got to have somebody else leading off than George Springer. I don't want George Springer. If you have George Springer leading off next year, you've completely screwed up your offseason.
Yeah. Well, again, they're not bringing leadoff hitters in here. They need dudes who can protect Vladdy, drive in 100 runs, and they need a couple of them. A couple of them ain't leading off. That's the point, right? It's how do you figure out how your lineup's going to be constructed and who you want to get the most at-bats when it matters the most. Yeah,
well, you don't want George Springer getting the most at-bats when it matters the most, Kevin. So he's not going to be leading off. Somebody else will be leading off. Spencer Horwitz can lead off. I don't care. Maybe Bo will lead off. Fine. Can't be George Springer.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But again, it gets back to that relationships.
That's nonsense.
What's your other choice? Okay,
that's nonsense. This year changed everything. This year saw a team with the biggest payroll in team history finish last. Not only that, this team has taken a step back every year for the last 3 years. I mean, even this front office is smart enough to see that. Last year was not as good as the year before. This year was certainly not as good as last year. They've had 2 years now where they've taken a step backwards. So yes, I think the situation is different now. I really do. I think the situation is different now.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm just saying I think I'm in with a lot of Jays fans. You believe it when you see it. It's that kind of thing.
Ian in Ridgeville, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I think, and this might be a bit of a conspiracy theory, but I think the Jays thought with moving Vladdy to third would be to try to get Pete Alonso in the offseason, which, I mean, I would like. I think he's had a down year this year, but he has the track record to be one of the best hitters in baseball. And just in terms of Kirk, Nothing has changed my faith in him. I don't think he's the starting catcher for this team. I think he will be the starting catcher next year. I don't think he should be. I haven't looked at the list of free agent catchers or catchers that they could acquire, but I would really think they should try to find a good defensive catcher who has some power as well.
Yeah, so, I mean,
so I'll hang up. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the call. There's a whole lot of James McCann happening out there in the free agent market, so I'm not entirely certain you're going to be able to upgrade there. I think what you want to do is you want somebody who's better than Tyler Heineman behind him. I am with Kevin in this. I don't want to spend a great deal of time and energy trying to figure out who my backup catcher is.
As long as you take care of those first five spots in the order, nobody will care who's catching.
Yep, exactly. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590 is the text line. The Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox 6-1. They have snapped a five-game losing streak. They have tomorrow off, and then they open the final series of the 2024 championship season against the Miami Marlins at the Rogers Center. We'll step away and come back. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The rotation in particular, they are a big part of what we're trying to do. And watching them finish strong has been great, you know. And I think that you know, you have to take some positives out of things when things aren't going your way during a season. So I think them finishing the way they did and having a little bit of momentum into the offseason is awesome. We're going to need those guys. And I'm happy for them individually, but I love the way that they've continued to work, continued to grind. When you're a veteran pitcher, it's not the easiest thing to kind of get up and go when, you know, you're not fighting for a playoff spot, but they've all done that. And they're all kind of continuing to find ways to get better. So couldn't be happier with the effort they've put in, the work, all that kind of stuff. And it's definitely nice to kind of roll into the offseason with those guys doing well.
That is John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, after tonight's 6-1 win over the Boston Red Sox at the Rogers Center. The Jays are 74-85. With the loss, the Red Sox have been eliminated from the postseason. The Rays have been eliminated from the postseason officially as well. The Royals and the Tigers, they just keep on going. They just keep on keeping on. Just getting ready to see the Dodgers and the Padres start their game after the Padres winning last night, clinching a playoff spot last night on a game-ending triple play. And you've got Dylan Cease against Jack Flaherty tonight, which would be a pretty good pitching matchup. And I believe that game is on Sportsnet, if I'm not mistaken. So 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590-590 to text line. Listen, we talked a lot in Blair and Barker about Kevin Gausman, about the adjustments he's made this year, about the type of year he's had. I made the point earlier today, you watch what Kevin Gausman has gone through this year and how he's finished, and I think you begin to understand why this guy has been able to have the career he's had. This is Kevin Gausman in its entirety after tonight's game.
Yeah, I mean, the consistency definitely wasn't there as much as I would have liked. You know, I thought I did a good job making adjustments when I needed to, but you know, the reality is, I had a really bad first month, you know, and so been throwing the ball pretty well lately as of late, but just not as consistent.
Have you kind of thought about any adjustments that you want to make in the off season or even early spring training just to put yourself in a better position to start the season?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it. You know, throwing my sinker more, you know, throwing it in the off season, I think it's going to be a pitch that will allow me to go deeper into games, get, you know, first pitch outs against righties. And so definitely that, you know, everything else I'll kind of take a look at and, you know, see what I need to do. Mechanically, I think I found where I need to be, and so, you know, that's good to know kind of going into the off season that you know, just kind of keep right there, you know. Made the adjustment to kind of simplify my mechanics, and it's definitely led to me being more consistent.
How important was it for you to finish strong after making those changes?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's always tough because you're always going to go on the results, and sometimes you know, pitching, you're gonna pitch great and the results are just gonna, you know, they're gonna find spots. And so you know, it was nice to have the results kind of on my side for a little bit, so you know, that shows that I'm on the right track. But you know, I'm only getting older, so I need to make adjustments and kind of you know, look at my workload and you know, yeah, kind of tweak some things.
You wind up with 14 wins. I know wins don't mean as much as they used to, but it ties your career high even in a year like that. Does that mean something?
Yeah, I mean, it to me, you know, it means you know, that I was still resilient. You know, I wasn't just going out there trying to lose games, and so you know, I feel like I probably could have won a lot more than that, to be honest, but that's the game. And so, you know, yeah, it's good. It's always good when you can tie a career high. You know, but I wish I would have been throwing the ball like last year, to be honest.
The rotation finishing strong overall, does that kind of give you guys, optimism or momentum heading into next year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially with Bowden, you know, I think you've seen his confidence grow. think he's proven that he's, you know, going to be a starter going forward. And so I always think you learn more in the offseason, especially as a young pitcher. So, you know, he'll take some time off, but I think he's really going to come into spring even better than he did this year. And, you know, he's just such a fierce competitor and just pounds the strike zone. So, you know those things are going to translate well. Yeah, you know, that's the million-dollar question, right? Some guys are willing to tell you what they're doing, some guys aren't. And so, you know, but, you know, to be honest, I've put myself in a good position over the course of my career, being very consistent and staying healthy, you know, health being the biggest thing. And so, to be honest, I look at a lot of other guys and, you know, I try not to do what they're doing.
What kind of impression did Class A make on you today?
Yeah, I mean, obviously on base four times, you know, in the leadoff spot is impressive. And, you know, he's got the tools to be an exciting player to watch. And so for him to hit his first home run today in the big leagues was really fun. And, you know, he definitely brings the element to the team that, you know, elite speed like that. You know, he can kind of get on base whenever he wants if he can get a bunt down. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see him get better and better.
So there you go. That was Kevin Gausman of the Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin Barker, talking about his season, capping it off with a good performance tonight, a 6-1 win over the Boston Red Sox. Interesting hearing him talk about thinking he has to throw his sinker more. He wants to throw it more in the offseason, wants to be able to get a few more first pitch outs against right-handed batters. Says mechanically he's found where he needs to be. Yeah, I guess the interesting question for me is, you found where you need to be. Now you got, what, 3 months before you pitch in a game again. I mean, I guess you can do it by working in the bullpen and that. But he does sound, he's not satisfied where the team is, but you really get the sense he feels that he's where he needs to be at this stage.
Yeah, I think he understands, too, you know, what they're trying to do in the bullpen and how important it is for the starting rotation to go deeper into games, right, to sort of hide what they don't have in the pen and make it a little bit easier that way. Look, I think that's a smart way to think about it, right? He often has said to me and us on our show that he looks at his starts when it comes to exit velocity and mm-hmm. taking the sting out of a bat's important. Earlier do that and counts will add up to going deeper in games, which will make your team better because of how good you are as a pitcher. It makes total sense.
6-1, the Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox, snapping their 5-game losing streak and in the process eliminating the Red Sox from the postseason picture. The Jays will have tomorrow off. They will be back on Friday to start their final series of the season at the Rogers Center against the Miami Marlins. Blair and Barker tomorrow, per usual, from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 Fan and Sportsnet. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Castleman and Vanier, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.